Oh, thank you very much, all the music folk. A lot of praises to God. And each one was a life changer. So, both you who picked them and, you know, the ones chosen for the whole group, really tremendous. Thank you. It was a great ministry to the Lord, praising Him, and certainly blessed our hearts very much. David Jeremiah is a pastor who has a church in Tennessee, and he has a national ministry of writing and speaking. And a solid man, I would say, in every sense of the word. He wrote a book in 2012 entitled God Loves You, He Always Has, and He Always Will. And he talks about in the preface the motivation for writing that book. He said he was looking at the most recently published books in and around that time, you know, 2010, 2012. And he said he found a whole lot of different topics, but he didn't see any books on God's love for people. And he said, well, I'm not going to leave that out. So he writes a book thanking God for His love, 300 pages worth, pretty good book. And thank you, God, for your love. And thinking about the love of God, powerful theme in the Bible, Genesis through Revelation, R.C. Sproul says one of the most difficult questions ever asked is this: why should God love us so much with such sacrifice, commitment, faithfulness, and intensity when we pretty much don't give Him, you know, the time of day, and half the time we spend our life rebelling in sin against Him? Why should God love so much? Well, He expresses that through His Son Jesus, you know, very clearly, and through His good word, the Bible. God's word has much to say about God's love. Word studies are good. They have some limitations, but they're helpful. If you did a word study in the New Testament, take a Strong's Concordance or some really good concordance, Strong's Exhaustive Concordance. The old ones are in the King James, but still makes the connection. And you see how many times heaven is mentioned, how many times love is mentioned, how many times prayer, those kind of things. And you look up those passages, what God has to say about all those things that, you know, are true and we really need help with. The word heaven, some of you have seen this before, the word heaven, 135 times in the New Testament. Sometimes the kingdom of heaven, God's work, you know, in our lives, reflecting our home. And in terms of heaven, too, you know, there's passages that talk about heaven that don't use the word heaven. John 14, for example. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you so that when I come, I'll take you to be with me. He's talking about heaven. All right? Doesn't use the word heaven. Same thing with hell. The word hell, 22 times. You want to add about 10 to that because of the lake of fire. A real danger, hell, a reality. And God wants us to know about that. And He wants us to know the only way to escape hell is through His Son and the great love that He would express. And love, agape, and then add a few for brotherly love and affectionate love and that kind of thing, 266 times. So God's Word highlights God's love, not to be underestimated, okay, not to be taken for granted. We get to heaven by God's love. We avoid hell because of God's love. Okay, so the big theme there, cares about how we live so very, very much because it impacts eternity. And He wants our hearts to be affected by His great love. I sure do hope I remembered that. I didn't have it, but I'm going to try to remember it from my head here. That you take two young people. One knows they are loved. They know that truth. The truth has set them free from parents, from the Lord Himself. You take that young person, they're going to want to obey God. They're going to feel secure because they know I'm loved. You know, there's nothing like being loved that kind of gets you going. You might think of the first time your loved one communicated to you that they loved you. You felt like, oh my, you know, this is really something. This wasn't, you know, I wasn't living like this last month. Now I'm living under the love of this person over here. And it's the Lord that He wants us to abide in His love. That person also is going to be highly motivated to obey the one who loves them. Oh, glad to do that for you. They're going to be a willing servant. And in turn, they're going to start to pass on love to other people. Unconditional love, unconditional respect, because they know God loves them. Take another person. They don't know they're loved. Or they feel like the love around them is hot and cold. You know, with human beings, it's going to be like that, unfortunately. But even from the Lord, they'll think, well, you know, sometimes God loves me, sometimes he don't. That person is going to be an angry person. That person is going to be an insecure person, an anxious person, a fearful person. I don't know if God loves me. That person is going to get very, very religious at times because they're going to think, I better work really hard so that I can have this friendship with God, because certainly he don't love me just as I am. Okay, but the Bible would come and tell us, you know, while we were still helpless and sinners, Christ died for us. He did love us on our worst days. And from that, it'll give us the gladness and stability we need in our walk with God. And it certainly does put fuel to the fire of our obedience, as I had mentioned. Here's some good news that God's Word says about God's love. God's love is his motivation for sending Jesus. You know, what was in the heart of God when he said, I'm going to ascend God the Son to save people? He so loved the world that he gave his Son. It was the motivation at the cross. When you get a gift, you want to know, is a gift because of the person loves you? Or are they just kind of, you know, going through the motions? God wasn't going through the motions when he sent Jesus. Okay, it was really powerful. He so loved the world. God's love is too big to measure. Ephesians 3. Paul said, I want you to know how high, wide, long, deep is the love of Christ. Great thing about God's love, I don't think you and I can ever exaggerate the strength and goodness of God's love. That's really a reflection of his character. Same thing with God's holiness. We can't exaggerate about his holiness. I mean, there's no sin in him whatsoever. And then we got God's love is poured into our heart when we receive Jesus. How, that's a great gift. God does that by his Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. That's Romans 5:5. So this great love that's a life changer is in us, that we can learn how to share that with others. Also, God's love is greater than faith, hope, knowledge, works, and all spiritual gifts. This is where I think we underestimate God's love. I know in my own life, sometimes I think if God would just do a miracle, then I would know this is the most powerful thing God could do if he did this miracle. Or how about faith, you know? We all believe God so much that the whole Westmoreland County turned to the Lord. That would be great faith. But something stronger and tougher than faith, something stronger and tougher than miracles, something stronger and tougher and more important than spiritual gifts, God's love. God's love. Hey, do a check on your own soul about that. You know, you could be doing certain things and even have trust in God, but if you don't know you're loved by God, or you're loving other people and back to God at that point, it's gonna be not a good time whatsoever. And sometimes love is used in opposition to God's law. The Holy Spirit really doesn't do that in the New Testament. He really teams them up. He teams up love and the commandments. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. These are two great verses to memorize. The commandments, whatever you can think they are, the 10 plus many others, are summed up in what? One rule, love, agape, your neighbor as yourself. Paul says it again in Galatians 5. The entire law is summed up in a single commandment, agape, your neighbor as yourself. Now, I remember as a young Christian, and this is probably, I'm sure you could identify with this, I couldn't tell you what the Ten Commandments were. I didn't know the Ten Commandments. I knew something. There was one about parents. There was one about don't steal. Okay, murder, adultery, you know, those kind of, but I could not recite the Ten Commandments. I hope we could do that, you know, as a part of love for God. Let me put you to the test here spontaneously. But let's say you didn't know the Ten Commandments. You were unsure about the love, the law of God, but you knew this much. Jesus loved you, and you loved the people around you. You really did with that same love. You know what you'd be doing? You'd be keeping those Ten Commandments. You'd be fulfilling those Ten Commandments without even knowing it. And if you ever did get some discipline and learn them, you know, you would be delighted in them. So the love of God matches up to the law of God. And it's a great thing the Lord does for us. The last part of the message is song testimonies about the love of God. And again, this is just an expansion in the praises we've done here. This is Charles Wesley, Amazing Love, How Can It Be That You, My God, Should Die For Me? Unique to the gospel. Buddha, Muhammad, Allah does not die for the people in their bad religion. The true faith, God, the Son, gives His life for the people. What a wonderful thing. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be, is my Savior's love to me. Before we go on, I wanted to mention three great pictures of love in the Bible, New Testament. You could share these with others or your own soul. Well known, the culture will relate to them. Because they're universal. First is this, Good Samaritan. Wonderful Jesus truth he tells. Man is beat up, left for dead. An enemy comes along. Don't miss that. And somebody who's, the guy beat up would have treated this guy as an enemy. An enemy comes along, gets him, heals him up, you know, and takes care of him and shows him love. And Jesus said, well, this is kind of, you're loving your neighbor as yourself. But Jesus is the Good Samaritan for us when we're beat up. And we treated Him as our enemy. Oh, we did when we sinned against Him. And He comes and says, let me put you to health again. Save your soul. Second great picture of God's love, the Father loving the two sons, known as the prodigal son. The one son sends up a storm. He comes to the end of himself. He kind of has a face-saving plan. I'm going to go back and say, hey, can I be your servant? Can I work my way back into your good stead here? The father said, be quiet. here's a robe. Here's a ring. We're going to have a big party here. And the older brother says, one thing I know, I'm better than this guy. That's for sure. It's easy to be the elder brother, you know. Fooey on him, fooey on his party, and fooey on dad. What does dad say? Hey, everything I have is yours. Come in. You know, you could celebrate too. The old crabby person you. You know, you could come in too. We've been in those shoes of the older brother. And of course, the love of God, the cross, gives His life in our place. He's praying things. You know, Father, forgive them. Lord, it is finished. Lord, into your hands I commit my spirit. All great pictures of God's love. More song testimonies, and we close. We want to jump into Sunday school. Great lover. By the way, great lovers of God. I got to be careful how I put this. We appreciate the word that goes forth in the Sunday schools because it really honors Jesus, His word, and His love. So that's why I'm going to finish rapidly here. Picture of love. For the joy of human love, thank you, Lord. Brother, sister, parent, child, friends on earth and friends above. That's all because God loves you. Don't forget that. And when love comes hard in your family circle, you know, or extended family, Just be patient. Just keep loving. That's your call. How do I make it right? You can't make it right. Let God make it right. You just keep loving. That'll be a good thing. And we sang this one, Great Things He Has Done. It was by Fanny Crosby, great-grandmother of Sidney Crosby, right? Fanny Crosby, a name you'll never forget. It's Fanny Crosby. Love's redeeming work is done. Fought the fight, the battle won. Again, this is the toughness of love that Charles Wesley wrote on a resurrection song, Christ the Lord is Risen Today. Love divine, all love's excelling. This is a good one. It takes us from our worst truth, that I, a child of hell, yeah, I'm a child of hell, unless the boundless love gets a hold of me, that I shine in his image, the Comforter has come. It's an honor to the Holy Spirit's regenerating work. Take my hands, let them move at the impulse of thy love. We saw that with the bells, the keyboard people, and the rest of us in service later this week. Thank you. Under his wings, who from his love can sever? Moment by moment, we're kept in his love. And then our response, love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. Again, it's the great love of Christ, which is the truth from the Word of God, and he demonstrated it in Jesus. That's fuel that keeps us going. When you don't know what to do, say, thank you, God, you love me, and then pass that on. And right now we're going to pass on the closing songs.